Hi, this is Zach with the Heritage Family Podcast. Welcome back. This is another one of our devotional thought episodes, and with us today we have again Mark Larson, the campus pastor of Heritage Libertyville. Mark, what are we talking about today?
Two things, Mr. Zach Whitfield. First off, I've got to lovingly make fun of you because my office smells like canned smoked herring and seasoned kale chips right now. So for everyone listening, if you ever want to make, don't spill that on my desk. If you ever want to make Zach's day, buy him a can of smoked herring.
It's got to be the kipper fillets from Trader Joe's.
I am borderline nauseous right now.
It's delicious. Nutrient dense. All the right fats.
Secondly, what we're talking about besides Zach's diet, we are looking at this problem of how we all struggle one way or another at different seasons of life with just kind of being frustrated. We're lacking the joy, lacking the peace, lacking the sense of gratitude for what we have, which is ironic because when you think about all that we have in life today, the reality is we live better than kings and queens did 200 years ago. I mean, even the lowest middle class person has a better life than the wealthiest person did 200 years ago. If you just think about all the luxuries and blessings we have, they're great. I'm glad we have them. But still, it's amazing when I look at my own heart, how I just get irritable and impatient and grumpy, and I lack
anxious,
gratitude.
Worried. Like those are all things that I think of that come out of this.
Yeah, absolutely. And so this problem of lacking joy and gratitude and just an awareness of God's goodness, it strikes at all of us. Whatever age we are, if we've got kids, no kids, this is something that we all struggle with. So Mr. Whitfield, you found a quote that stuck out to us. Let's hear what this idea is.
Yeah, so this quote is from G.K. Chesterton. And he has a way of wording things that like you have to think about what he said. And as you think about it more and more, you see how much is actually packed into the sentence. So here you go. He says, "I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder."
That was deep.
It makes me wonder what he meant.
Yes, it does.
And so that is what our devotional thought is. We're gonna unpack this quote from G.K. Chesterton and see how this everything that's contained in this quote would actually be balm to the wound of like dissatisfaction, anxiety, worry, frustration. Like Mark said, we are blessed to live in the time we live in. We are blessed to live in the area we live in.
Yep.
We are blessed with all the stuff we have around us. And yet somehow we have like record lows of happiness and they're only going down, and record lows of, you know, joy in life. And people are always looking to other things to fill them up.
Yeah.
And it's never enough.
Yep.
And so, yeah, so we'll start with the first half of this quote. He talks about, he says, "I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought." And so just a little context, G.K. Chesterton was a Christian. So everything he talks about is pointing us back to God.
Yeah.
And this quote specifically, when he's talking about just thanks, he's not just talking about like, you know, the general thanks. Thanks, Mark, for making fun of my kipper fillets.
Well, they smell pretty
it's
bad.
It's not like that. It's like he's saying he would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought. So what do you think he means by that, Mark?
Oh man, just that thought about where our thanks brings us, just the highest form of thought. I mean, my mind goes to what he means of as we have thanksgiving towards God, it lifts our eyes towards him. It takes our eyes and our mind and our affections off of ourselves, off of those immediately around us, as good as that is. But it brings us into, I mean, in a sense, communion with God the Father and turning our hearts towards gratitude and thanks towards him.
So that highest being altitude, almost like when you're saying the highest form of thought, which by the way, that is a pretty bold statement to say this is the highest form of thought. But
I think you should start more sentences personally with "this I maintain" or "I will maintain that."
Thus saith the Zach. Yeah, I don't think I'll do that. But the highest form of thought he maintains is thanks.
Yeah.
And I love that because, like I said, he's a wordsmith and he's using this word highest in a way that's saying when we are thankful, it elevates where we are looking, and as opposed to looking around us at the things we don't have, it elevates our eyes to the one who we are thankful to,
right?
And it lifts our spirit, and it brings us close to the Father, who is our source of joy, our source of love, our source of everything. And so, I think it's an attitude of the heart, thankfulness. It's taking stock of what's around you. It's looking at the things in your life that you have to be thankful for. So it's all about, it really is all about where you're focusing, right?
Yep.
To say thank you for something, you have to first recognize that you have something,
yeah,
right? And then your attitude has to move to, man, I really appreciate that I have this thing.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful that it's here. Yeah. And it's great. I love my bed that's warm. We pray at night with our kids sometimes, and it'll be storming outside, and they'll say, thanks for a warm house. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
We take that for granted. But yeah, we're inside from the elements when it's freezing cold outside. We are dry when it's wet outside.
Yep.
And just giving thanks for a roof over our heads, it just helps us to appreciate everything that God has blessed us with. And I know that everyone listening comes from totally different, you know, financial backgrounds, totally different situations. But I guarantee every single person listening has a lot to be thankful for.
Yeah, totally. What's the second half of that quote?
Second half of that quote is, this is where I feel like we need to kind of think about what G.K. Chesterton said. He says, let me pull it up so I don't misquote him. He would be upset with me.
Although he's dead.
Yeah, but is he though?
Well, he's living in Christ right now. Well, in
correct.
Heaven, but
so therefore,
we got off the rails.
Upon the resurrection, he would come to me and be like, Zach,
you misquoted my quote.
You misquoted my quote. Oh, I don't think he would. He's a funny guy. All right. It says, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. So that's a packed second half of a sentence. Gratitude, first of all, I think we were saying earlier when we talked, gratitude is basically thankfulness in a direction, right? Yep. Thankfulness with a face.
Yep.
When you have gratitude, it's I'm thankful to someone,
yeah.
Right? So that's what he's saying. This gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. And I think before we move too far into it, when we look at all the things we don't have, when we are constantly caught up in the things that we wish we had or wish we were,
yeah.
Or it is sucking our happiness away.
Right.
And he's saying the opposite. If we have gratitude, it actually doubles our happiness.
Yep.
Not depletes it, but exponentially grows it, you know? 'Cause doubling it's an exponent.
We need Zach Whitfield talking about math more often on this podcast.
I love math.
That's not true.
Oh, maybe.
Somewhat?
Well, not the new math. anyways. So let's talk about that, Mark. That idea of gratitude. I think you were sharing, you had a good illustration for gratitude.
Well, I don't know if it's a good illustration, but this is what came to mind. When I think about that idea of gratitude doubling the happiness of something, my mind just went to, I mean, we've all seen the image of the movie of the kid who gets something on Christmas and just the elation of that kid, whatever the present is. You know, the kid got a new video game system, a new toy chest, a new pony, whatever it is. But that kid gets that favorite present, and not only do they have the joy of that new item, that new activity, that new board game, but they also have the gratitude of, oh, mom, thank you for this gift. Dad, how I couldn't imagine that you would actually do this. Thank you, mom. Thank you, dad. Thank you, grandpa, whoever it is. And so that kid, they have the joy of the item and they have the joy of gratitude towards that person who gave it. If you think of it the other way, if that kid would have just, you know, somehow had the money from mowing yards or a job and they went and bought the gift, they would certainly be happy that they got that new video game system or whatever it is. There would be the legitimate joy of getting the item, but it would not have the gratitude of someone else blessing them with that item. So in a sense, gratitude kind of compounds, it doubles the enjoyment of that item because it's not just the joy of the item, it is connecting to someone else blessed me with it. So when I just think about, you know, the opportunity for our own hearts to recognize the goodness of God, that, I mean, no exaggeration, everything we have, like not just the house and the money, but the skills that we even have to do the job that gets us the money is a gift from God. We so often shrink down what we should be grateful for, and we say, well, God, thank you for a house, a job, and my family. But the very breath in our lungs, the ability to think conscious thoughts, the skills to perform the job that gets us the money, all of these are gifts from God. And there is so much opportunity for gratitude and enjoyment, not just of what we have, but enjoyment of God through that. So that just, it seems like an invitation to joy in God the more we think about what gratitude is.
I love that invitation to joy, doubled happiness. The gratitude is thankfulness in a direction.
Yeah.
And then the part where he says, doubled by wonder.
Yeah.
I love that. Like if we were to sit here for a while and just start listing out things that God has given us and like take stock of all the good things in our lives, I don't think that we would lack a sense of wonder when we look at the sheer mass on that list of the things that God's given us out of his goodness and his faithfulness.
Right.
All of us, no matter what our circumstances are, have so much to be thankful for.
Yeah.
And we can focus on all the things we don't have. And that's what I kind of wanted to talk into, what you opened with the problem. And this came from a specific story of talking to someone feeling that they just had little joy or were very anxious, were constantly dissatisfied with their with what they had in life. And they knew that that's not the case. It shouldn't be that way. And upon further conversation, talking about just their rhythms in life, they were pretty clear that, you know, they spend a lot of time on social media. They spend a lot of time on Facebook, or they follow certain celebrities, or they have friends from college who are, you know, doing things and spending money in ways, or they're, sorry, I should say, they're seeing these things on Facebook that make them think like, you know, oh, I'm off to work and they're off on a boat on another vacation. Like, and so they just become so dissatisfied in the life that God has given them, the things that they have in front of them. So I wanted to talk about two things. First of all, the lie of social media.
You mean it's not real?
No, I
know. It's not an accurate presentation.
I think the kids call it fake news. I think that's what they're calling it these days. But yeah, social media is like, it's the opposite of thankfulness. It is the opposite of gratitude, because you are literally going to one place where everyone puts on only the best things in their life.
Yep.
And then you start focusing your mind on all these things that people have, right?
Yep.
Like the mom with four kids that somehow also runs a workout, you know, station while studying some high theological book.
Yeah.
And also having an amazing meal on the table.
Right.
And working full time.
Right.
Like, that mom does not really exist, but she does on Instagram.
Yeah.
Or the dad who, you know, I know that they said dad bod was cool, but like, it's not, first of all. This will probably get edited out. But like, Instagram paints a picture that is unrealistic. Yeah. And then all of us compare our lives to those things. Right. And first of all, I just want to highlight that those things don't even bring true lasting joy. Right. Vacation is great for a moment.
Yep.
But it doesn't bring true lasting happiness and joy.
Right.
Eventually vacation's over, or eventually you get the bill for what vacation cost.
Oh, no.
Right. And we would all love to live on vacation, we think.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the mindset, is that when we are not giving thanks and we are not focused on gratitude towards God, our hearts can become very discontent. And instead of being thankful for all the things we have, instead of doubling our happiness, we've actually punched a hole in the bottom of the good life God's given us. And our happiness is sucked out by constantly looking and comparing ourselves.
Yeah.
And I don't think it just goes with image or social media or comparing our lives to others. I think it can also go with, like, instead of giving thanks for our good health, we're thinking about all the possible diseases we could get.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Like, we're on WebMD searching, well, I have a sniffle and my right ear hurts and my toe is swollen.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. It looks like I have, you know, fill in the blank.
Is your toe actually swollen?
No. Okay. No. I mean, my toes are always big, so it's hard to tell when they're swollen. But I think there's this, internet is a great gift, but it also is a place where we spend way too much time.
Yeah.
And we look there for information about what our lives should look like.
Yeah.
Right? And then we just become dissatisfied with any place we don't measure up.
Yep.
And so I just want to call out, first of all, for everyone that didn't already know this, that everything you see on Instagram and Facebook, that's not the whole picture of those people's lives.
Yeah.
And they know what sells, by the way. You've heard the word clickbait, right? People are putting up things that they know people are going to covet and want and desire. That's what drives the internet economy, is a sense of dissatisfaction to get you to purchase more things that we have that can make your life complete.
Right.
And G.K. Chesterton's quote says nothing about that.
Yeah.
Right? It says, instead, to double your happiness, it's an attitude of thanks and a gratitude towards God.
And we often think that to double our happiness, we have to get more. And Justin's quote is, gratitude, thanksgiving with what we have already is the pathway to more joy.
Yeah.
And there is a time and a place to get more that is legitimate. Social media has its role. There's ways to enjoy it properly and get more things in a healthy way. But ultimately, the lie that our culture tells us is you need more in order to be happy, which is not always true.
The reason I bring this up and the reason the quote came up and all that is God's word speaks directly into this. And in this podcast, we're trying to reflect God's heart in all areas of our lives. So what does he say about this? Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7 say, like, It's great because it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So what pops out right off the bat is this idea of anxiety, which is through the roof. In the church, in every aspect of culture, anxiety is higher than it's ever been. And it continues to go up. And why is that? And I think it's because in this culture where we're always comparing, you're always focused on the things you can't control, the things you don't have, the things that you desire. And there's an anxiety that on the other side of having those things is where happiness lies. And since you never arrive, you're always anxious to get there.
Yeah.
And I feel like this verse speaks directly against that.
Yeah. And I'm struck by that line in there where it says, present all your requests to God with thanksgiving. And so I love that thanksgiving and gratitude does not mean we can't ask God for more things. It doesn't mean we can't ask for the promotion at work or for our kids to be healed. Like, we should be seeking restoration in different situations. It's good to ask our generous Father for what we need. But it's just, it's a great qualifying thought that as we express our needs, as we come in our lack, as we seek God and his provision in whatever area it is, to come with an attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving, not one of, distrust or irritability or anger or how could you not, God type stuff. But as we present our requests, God wants to hear them. But coming with thanksgiving is the attitude to do it with.
Yeah, I love that. And like, as we think about this being, a lot of our episodes have to do with kids and parenting and family in general. We think about the Father's heart towards us, right? And we think about how there's parts in the Bible that talks about how God is more loving than a good father on earth, and he wants to give good gifts, and God wants to give us good gifts and take care of his children and provide for our needs and give us more than we could even imagine. Now, I'm not preaching prosperity gospel here. I'm saying that everything that God has for us is a good gift, and he knows the right gifts to give. And sometimes us not getting things that we think we want is actually a grace of God to protect us from what would happen if we got it. I'm not going to give my son Hudson, I'm not going to give him a BB gun, high powered air rifle, when we have nowhere to shoot it in our house. And I know who his targets would be: three younger siblings, right? So I don't think there's anything wrong with him having an air rifle at the right age, in the right setting, with enough direction. But there's things around the gift I'm giving him. So I think just realizing that we can bring those prayers and supplications to God with thanksgiving. We make our requests known to him, right? But it's always in a heart of thankfulness for the things we have currently. Yeah. It's never in an anxiety about these things will be the source of my joy. Yeah. It's like, are we giving thanks for the gifts, or are we giving thanks to the giver of the gifts? Yeah. Where does our heart go back to? What's going to raise our thoughts? What's going to double our happiness? It's that gratitude and thankfulness towards God. And the second half of that, verse 7, is like, I don't think most people, myself included, would say we are always here. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If, verse 6, if we are going to not be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God, then the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds. And that, I love that word guard in there, because it's like this thankfulness, this gratitude, this asking God with a sense of dependence on him,
yeah,
but with a grateful heart that he has given us so much already, guards our hearts.
Like, from envy and
I'm
fear.
I'm picturing like an actual guard standing at our heart, standing in our mind, and not letting anxiety come in.
Yeah.
Not letting discontentment come in. Not letting all these things, this worry about health issues, not letting these things enter into our heart and our mind, because we know who our Father is. We know that he is going to take care of us. And with thankfulness for what he's given us, we're asking him for things that we think would be good.
Yeah.
And trusting, this is, again, trust comes up all throughout this podcast.
Yep.
Trusting him that he will give us the good gifts, and he will keep from us the things that will actually damage us.
Yeah. And just that image that you just shared, that idea of the peace of God guarding our hearts. It's not a passive protection. It is a proactive guarding of us. And just that is, my heart, I would not say is there yet, but I long to be at that point where I so sense the goodness of God that in a sense, it is proactively guarding my heart from fear, anxiety, worry, envy, coveting, what, you know, whatever it is. But it's exciting to even think about. Our hearts can get to a point where we can be so at rest in the goodness and faithfulness of God that his peace is literally guarding us from damaging sin. It's just so hopeful.
Yeah, and as we talk about this peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, I immediately think of Paul, who learns to be content when he has much and when he has nothing.
Yeah.
Like, you can see that played out in his life. He's in jail, but he's still content in God. And because of his contentment in jail, think of like the letters he wrote.
Yeah.
You think of Peter in jail, because he wasn't freaking out and anxious, he was able to share the gospel with the jailer, and the jailer and his whole household come to know Jesus. And that all comes from a peace in those situations where all else would have been anxious, you know? For anyone who doesn't have that relationship with God, who isn't guarded by the peace of God, there's anxiety, there's worry, there's fear. Rightfully so, you're in prison, right?
Yeah.
But with God, it surpasses all understanding, this peace you have.
Yep.
You know, and it's just, it's not even like, you know, with God, we won't be anxious. It surpasses, we won't be anxious. It's, you will have a peace that passes understanding in situations that should bring anxiety.
Yeah.
Like, that's a promise.
Yeah.
I don't know what God's been saying to you. He's getting me really excited about this whole thing. I know that anxiety and worry and fear and stress, like, just plague people.
Yeah.
And I know that God has, again, a simple solution. It's difficult to really work it into our lives, but it's there and it's clear and we can pursue it. And that's kind of cool about this verse too, is God's going to do something, but we also have a role in it.
Yeah.
Right? It's positioning our hearts with thanksgiving. It's choosing to shut out any voices that say we don't have enough, right? Turning off the social media when we realize, man, this is actually creating in me a heart of, you know, curmudgeon, or a heart of anger, or a heart of frustration with God.
Right.
It's creating fear in me, and I know that fear is not from him. And so I'm going to put it away, and instead, I'm going to bring these requests to God with thanksgiving for what he's given me.
Yeah.
And so let's stand on that truth, on that promise. I'd ask you guys that are listening, what has God been saying to you in this podcast? What's he been bringing up in your mind? And a moment, I'm going to have Mark pray for us, but just be thinking, what things in my life are causing me anxiety? What things in my life are bringing fear, discontentment, worry? And how can I, instead, with my family around the dinner table before bed, look at the things that God has given me, give thanks to the Father for his gracious goodness, and with an attitude of gratitude towards God, double my happiness in my current situations. So I'm going to have Mark pray for us, and we look forward to seeing you guys next time on the Heritage Family Podcast.
God, thank you that you are good. Thank you that you are generous and faithful. And God, I just ask you to help us to see how awesome you are and grow our hearts' awareness of you. Draw us deeper into relationship with you, Lord. And may our anxiety and fear and coveting and jealousy, may that be conquered by gratitude and peace and joy and thanksgiving towards you. Lord, reveal yourself as our good Father and drive us to trust in you. In your good name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let these gifts to us be blessed. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Amen.